You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL Podcast. We'll not say Super Bowl today.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansen. It's got heroes here. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. And we will not say that word. All the other basic bro podcasts out there shrug their shoulders and say, let's just dig. What is it? Today's linebackers day. Snore.
Yeah.
No.
Lifeless.
There's more to the NFL than the big game, which is permitted. There's more to life.
Mm.
A lot more. You may notice that Mark and I are on the show today, and that is because the Sports Podcast Awards have made their announcement. The winner of the Best American Football Podcast, you know it, baby, Around the NFL. Thank you.
Wow.
What a moment. I mean, I think it would be good to...
Chills.
In case there's media outlets that want to need a quote, let's do a little presser. Or an announcement of some kind.
Yeah.
We want to thank the fans, of course. We want to thank the Academy at the Sports Podcast Awards. We want to thank everyone who got out and voted.
Yeah.
To take out the fantasy footballers. First place is second loser, or second place is first loser, as they say. Something called Nightcap came in third.
Check you later.
Smell you later. We win. We are victorious. So thank you to everybody. That's nice. It's been a while since we took home some hardware.
I would say this. You know, we work with a number of people involved with a lot of the shows, and so you know, we take special pride in
our
spelling
Sky Sports friends.
Yeah, yes. I mean, we take special pride. Like they, it resets the everyone's
our
concept
market?
Expectations,
yes, I like
that. And I think it goes on our resume. I don't know what we do. We win something beyond. I mean,
Eric. Did we win anything?
What it, like physically?
Is there a cash prize or a Corvette? Or
we get that tweet.
Maybe
yeah,
a trophy or something?
But yeah, we had the fantasy footballers on our podcast earlier. It's nice to take them out. PFF, more like PF Humph. Yeah, I don't know. I do feel like...
football
we'll fix that in post.
Yeah. I do feel good. Like we are, you know... We're kind of like the 2014 Patriots.
Go ahead.
And, you know, the Patriots had a lot of early success. We did, too. We famously took home a Stitcher Award in 2013. Best new podcast.
Our producer did.
Nominated for an iTunes Award for the best podcast. I don't even know if they had a winner. But
I don't even know if iTunes exists anymore.
Right, or Apple Store. But it's been 10 years since then. And I... Now that we've won another award and been recognized, feel like our producer that stole that first award and had
like
it
physically the award. Yeah,
had it sent to their house and then we never saw it. They are like the Bill Buckner of our podcast. I forgive them now. I forgive them. It's okay.
I believe that this cements our legacy as the greatest NFL podcast that has ever existed. And I already knew that, but having this award, there is no other way now. Just like hoisting the Lombardi Trophy on the day of the big game, you can no longer argue who's the best. The best there is.
Whoa.
The best there was, the best there ever will be.
On a personal note,
around the NFL,
one of the people that we took out, just cut them off at the neck, was someone that took issue with the fact that I was previously named along with you guys as a top 10 football insider.
Show
is out.
Take a seat, Stu Guts. He gone.
We're going to have to see all these people in a week, and they're
going
to.
And they're going to
tweet us.
Shake.
I can't say that. I can't say
that. Sessy made it. Sessler. I mean, how about that guy?
You can,
who is that guy?
I'll tell you who he is. Yeah. He is a member of Around the NFL. The best. I think we've covered it now.
Yeah, we've got it.
Although I actually
in the world.
I'm in a tough spot here because us winning actually I could view as an insult towards me that our listeners so badly didn't want a podcast just hosted.
They did
by
have
myself.
A, there was a window there for
that,
them.
That
yeah.
like we yeah. were actually trailing by a lot and suddenly they heard that and it just went crazy to avoid that. So
you Mark, you've said it so many times inappropriately. This would be the time where you could mention they had an opportunity for a violent coup d'etat.
Right.
And yet they stood down.
That they were nonplussed by the concept of Greg taking over the show on a solo effort.
They put down their shields. Well, listen, that's a good way to start the show. And yeah, if you could find out, Eric, if you could let us know.
We could end the show right there.
Do we get something for it? Because I would like, I see that glass right there, right next to the football I got for helping.
Yeah, you can't even.
Clemson, I believe it was.
You didn't help anyone. It's the most ridiculous thing
I know,
ever.
But
you were a tremendous
Dabo Sweeney says otherwise. It's signed by him.
So weird.
Helping out the underprivileged youth of Clemson, Greggy.
Right.
We have that in the window for anyone who walks by, including Greg. Right next to it, we should have something.
Yeah,
that,
I'll reach out. Yeah. I'll see what comes along with it. Maybe some DiGiorno pizza comes with it.
Mm,
well, I think at this point they realize who they're dealing with, DiGiorno. It's like, let's start shipping product.
All right, so with that said, we have a nice show ahead of us because we will not say it. In fact, if anyone says the name of the game, as it's popularly known, mm-hmm. or even mentions the two teams, either of the two teams.
Mm, right.
Hmm.
It is a, and this is going to be documented by our producer, Eric, a $5 fine. $5. It's not insignificant when it starts.
I remember when this show first started, the tradition, and I feel like Wes struggled with it. He would have owed a lot of money.
Like, yes,
and,
I do remember that.
And I think the NFL should calm down on, not letting anyone use that word. We can't use that word today, but driving into work, I did notice in our town of Inglewood, where SoFi Stadium kind of barged in. Hey, we're taking over SoFi Stadium. It's the big game block party on Sunday. Can we give Inglewood a break at least?
Inglewood?
Yeah, give
Inglewood. Can we give the city of champions rights to that certain phrase?
Two words. It only feels fair. I mean, we've essentially taken over that city with the stadium and other in our office. So.
And we got Bomber down the street building an arena, too. It's like, we're turning this into a vast playground. Can we at least give them the rights to the big name game's true name?
Wait, one technical question. Like, so if you say the name of the big game, you owe $5 to who? Where is it going?
It's going into a slush fund for the show. For use at another time. Like, here's a great example.
Let's
make it interesting. Let's make it $10.
Yeah.
We talked about... I can't actually say what it is right now because it's something that's coming up next week. But there's a certain project, a creative project that we're working on that the fans are going to find out soon about that's going to need some type of capital to back it, revolving T-shirts, that it could go toward that fund.
Mm. Beautiful.
So it's a slush fund, and you can't say it. And Eric, it is so important that you legislate it, because we might miss something. And the worst thing is when everyone misses it, and then after the show, the listener's like, oh, you did say it. Can't happen. Speaking of the listeners, we're going to open up the mailbag. And again, it's a don't say you know what mailbag. No questions pertaining to the big game or the participants involved in it. But before we do that, let's hit the news. Damn, it feels good to be a winner.
Got to have confidence in your team. Got to have confidence in yourself. And if you don't have that confidence, you can't play football. We all felt we could win. We won.
And I asked Joe specifically, Joe, do you feel like you're king of the hill?
Joe, you're king of the hill.
No. No. We're king of the hill. We got the team, brother.
That's from a certain game, January 1969, and that was Sal Marciano, who was a mainstay in New York sports coverage, who, as a young man, asked, Joe, king of the hill, like, which is just one of the more funny, like,
it's very
outdated ways of expressing yourself. But that wanted to get some Joe in there during another trying era for his team. Let's get to the news, and let's start with the coaching carousel, which it's coming to a stop. Every head coaching spot is now filled. Today we learned that the Washington Commanders have made their decision, hiring Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn as their new coach. Quinn replaces Ron Rivera, who was hired by new owner Josh Harris one day after the season ended. So, Quinn, who is the highest paid DC in the league for the Cowboys, they had some really successful defenses while he was there, even though maybe they disappointed a little bit down the stretch this year. Of course, he served as the Falcons head coach in 2015 to 2020. There was a 28-3 comeback in
2016, after the 2016
season. What
game
was it?
Which one
was it?
It was a large event, sporting event that featured the Patriots as well.
I tried to get you. Didn't get you. I was trying to get the $10 going. Obvious.
I'm too locked in.
Yeah, you're very locked in. Anyway, so he was the head coach of that team. Atlanta then let him go when things kind of fell apart in the years after that. And now he gets his second shot at the job. And it should be said, Greg, that we're going to talk about the new head coach of the Seahawks as well, because Quinn doesn't appear to be the Commanders' first choice here, but they do have a head coach now.
No, he doesn't. Maybe it was going to be Mike McDonald. Maybe it was going to be Ben Johnson.
Sounds like he was the third choice of the Commanders.
And Ben Johnson especially was the guy that the insiders kept connecting. And everyone who seems to have good relationships with their new GM, Adam Peters, who's really well-respected around the league, but, man, like, he is getting pumped up as kind of the GM bell of the ball, and they kept saying he's looking for an innovative offensive mind, and you just got the feeling that Ben Johnson was his choice, and they were maybe caught a little flat-footed, and they wind up with Dan Quinn, who I think is a good choice to run a team a second time, that, like Raheem Morris, he's had some time, not as long as Raheem Morris, but to learn from what happened. And more than anything, strikes me as a guy who can be a little Mike Tomlin-like, hopefully having a good idea of hiring the right people. He knows a lot of people within the league, and having an overall idea instead of him offering you like crazy schematic advantages. I think he did a great job with Dallas, and he's shown that he's improved, I think, as a defensive play caller, and he brings that to the table. We'll see who he hires as his DC. But it's probably not one in Washington after Ron Rivera that gets you as excited for this new generation. And we'll see who he hires as his OC, which is big.
Yeah, it's easy to forget that early with the Falcons, before they went to the big game, that Quinn was correctly touted as someone that quickly developed like his defense and young defensive players. And on the flip side, you had Kyle Shanahan running the offense. Shanahan leaves, and that the development of the defense stopped, and then the Falcons just started to become unwatchable. But Quinn, I think, is a consistent guy. He's like well respected. It's not that it's a disappointing hire, but I'm with you that I think that the whole search committee they put together, and Adam Peters coming in as a very powerful general manager, thought Ben Johnson, with the number two pick, the most cap room in the league as a quarterback, you know, developer, would make the most sense and really galvanize a Washington fan base. It's been a long time. And there were these reports that Ben Johnson was asking for too much money. And we'd never really heard Ben Johnson or his people respond to that on any level. But I think
they
part
did,
of it...
They did when that first report came out during the season from Josina Anderson that he wanted $15 million a year. And his agent did went on the record and say that's not true. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean more in this...
In this cycle, you're right. Adam Schefter threw it out there that like
which
he
is might
have scared them away.
But one thing, though, because I think... Like, if you're Ben Johnson and you realize if you have one more good year with the Lions, you get your pick of seven or eight teams. And do you want to come in into a team where the general manager is essentially over you and the owner? I think it's like this isn't a hand-in-hand situation. I just think Adam Peters is a very powerful general manager and figure in that organization. And, like, it's all right for Quinn. I think Ben Johnson decided not to take this job.
I mean, I agree and disagree at the same time because – Ben Johnson could have another really good year with Detroit. I don't think all of a sudden he's going to be this guy that can go march around saying, I want full control of everything. He's Ben Johnson. I mean, the resume is nice, but it's not. He's not like an all-time guy or a Kyle Shanahan.
I just think
figure.
Something made him blanch at this situation. Like something
sure,
changed
and
for
maybe
him.
It is the money. Now, just also, and you know, it takes some audacity for Ben Johnson, if that's true, that he was asking for $15 million because like Jim Harbaugh, reportedly is getting paid $16 million per year by the Chargers. So, and that's a proven guy with pelts on the wall. So I could understand why a team might, you know, take a step back if that was true. Now, we'll see. And I know this is optimism season and every head coach hiring is viewed as a success and every new GM is seen as a big-time difference maker. But, and I'm not going to dwell on it, but I wonder how we'll look back at this in a year or two when we made this big deal about, well, Bill Belichick wasn't even considered for this job, from what we understand.
Actually, now they did sort of add some reporting from Diana Rossini that they talked to Bill Belichick.
So they talked to Bill Belichick.
I don't know if it was
Bill
a formal
Belichick.
Interview, but they considered him that they
and early
spoke
on,
with him.
Belichick and the Commanders were there was a
linked,
lot of
yes, and
whispers
it was
around
deemed that.
That
the combined wisdom of Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, you know, that's the way to go. Okay, we'll see. Let's see how this all looks in a year or two. Find out. Because now Bill's not getting a job because the other head coaching position with the Seattle Seahawks is also has been filled. It is Mike McDonald, the defensive coordinator of the Ravens, who obviously had a big year there with everyone else until they got to Championship Sunday. So he is now the replacement for Pete Carroll and it's a 6-year contract. These contracts are huge for these coaches. And also, in general, it's just, isn't that wild? Like, 6 years?
Harbaugh got 5.
That makes a little more sense. Like, that's a proven guy. Whereas McDonald, we don't know what he's going to be like in this position. And he is 36 years old. They literally took Pete Carroll's age, divided it by 2. So this is a youth movement in addition to just changing the scenery and the decision-making and the vibe of the organization right now.
So the 6 years struck me too, Dan. That was one of the first things I thought about because I was like, well, 6 is weird. It's usually 4 or 5 for a new coach. And 6 just makes me think, well, Washington was probably in on this. And that's like...
Right, he had leverage.
There you go.
That's how it works. And I think they really loved the idea of McDonald as... our friend Mina Kimes called it on her podcast I did this week. You guys should check that out too. The Shanahandler, which I like that. I want to steal that. And because like he handled Kyle Shanahan. Certainly the Rams had some good numbers against him, but Houston and Bobby Slowick and all the different the Shanahan trees, the Miami, like they did a good job. And it's as modern a defense as you can possibly imagine in terms of the disguise and getting everyone to sort of understand holistically like what they're doing on each play, where the back 7 was really connected. Because if you look at the Ravens, they had a lot of injuries, and I wouldn't say they were like the most talented defense in the league, and they really got it done for 2 straight years.
I can't think of these coordinators that, you know, a couple years, he was in Michigan before he went to Baltimore, right. Wasn't there for that long, but did an incredible job with that defense. Like his name in the last couple weeks just bubbled up, and you start to hear like all these, like RG3, who was with the Ravens for a spell, like talked about Mike McDonald coming in and just like talking to players in general and just being this incredible connector. So I think it's like the person. He kind of fits Seattle, and it's a nice transition from Pete Carroll. But it's a new message as well, and he's got like their defense. You keep thinking they have a great defense. They were not last year, but they still have a lot of young players for him to work with. And I think someone like Jamal Adams, check you later. But like a lot of these other pieces, like they could be a quick riser from where they were at the end of last season.
Reek Willen, Devin Witherspoon, Quandre Diggs. Like that's a nice start to your secondary. I'm with you. They probably get rid of Adams. Pat, there's a lot of free agents on the Ravens, and they're losing coaches all over the place here. But they could also lose players like Matabike and Queen and Clowney. We'll see. They have a lot to decide there. But I'm excited. Mike McDonald.
I do. The one figure in Seattle, obviously, that I wonder about a little bit when you have Pete Carroll exit stage left and anyone comes in, including the new offensive coordinator and all that, a new system, like, is Geno Smith going to face competition or find himself somewhere else? Or is he going to have the organizational belief that he did before? Because I feel like that was the beating heart of that was Pete Carroll's.
Well, wasn't part of this decision to move on from Pete Carroll, who's an accomplished guy who's been there forever, to, you know, change the status quo of the organization? And I think Geno has been very good for them on balance. But is he the guy that gets you over the hump, or do they want to go? I would not be surprised, to put it that way, if they aggressively seek out another option beyond what they have in-house with Drew Lock.
I think it's more likely to be a rookie, but it wouldn't be shocking. He has some guaranteed money coming on February 16th, so it's early in the offseason, Geno Smith does, and I fully expect him to get that because his salary is manageable. But I think it's a negative for him that, look, Shane Waldron's already gone. I do wonder if they knew McDonald was going to be the head coach, whether they would have tried to retain Waldron, who I think did a good job. And so I have no clue what kind of offense that they're going to be running there. Geno's pretty like offense agnostic just because he's like a traditional pocket quarterback where he could maybe work in anything. But McDonald, like, I just love the way that like Marlon Humphrey talked about how like everyone in that defense sort of, you hear linebackers say like, oh, he knew what everyone else's role was supposed to be. But in this defense, everyone knew what everyone's role was supposed to be. And it's just like, he's the youngest coach in the league. Jared Mayo only lasted for a couple weeks.
This is one of these age things that's crazy. It's like, they're both 36, but like you go to Sean McVay is still only 37 years old.
Right. It's crazy.
Let's spin the carousel again. Mm-hmm. We got a lot. By the way, Commanders were trying to call up McDonald as he was getting on the plane to go to Seattle. Like, hey, give us one more chance. He's like, peace.
That's where
I gone.
He just like copied that text that they sent him to his agent, and then the agent copied that text to the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are like, all right, 6 years.
Yeah. I also heard that they were like essentially in route to Ben Johnson when he announced that he didn't want to take a job.
Yes, they
that's
did.
A sad,
they
that's did a sad flight.
They interviewed Aaron Glenn there anyways, but they were in the plane and stuff.
All right. The Titans hire another Ravens assistant, Denard Wilson, as their defensive coordinator. The Packers hire Boston College coach Jeff Hafley.
Jeff Hafley. He was BC's coach for 4 years.
As defensive coordinator. The Ravens, or are you kidding me? They name inside linebackers coach Zach Orr their DC. That's a good position. That's similar to what's been going on in San Francisco in recent years, although I don't think Steve Wilkes is going to have the same success. But that could get you a job. Just got McDonald a job. So Orr takes over that defense, and the Panthers Canales decides Evero will remain their defensive coordinator.
One thing, like, because the Jeff Hafley thing to Green Bay, that was such a huge hire after what's been going on like the past couple years. Like, I was like, he doesn't really know LaFleur very well, but he worked under Mike Pettine in Cleveland. He worked under Shanahan as well, so there is some link with LaFleur.
Where's Mike Pettine at, by the way?
He may be back in that cabin. He built that cabin on the lake in Ohio.
Next to Brown's training camp, though?
No, that's where he lived.
Speaking of collision low crossers, where's Pettine at these days? Go ahead, Mark.
Well, no, but like Hafley, there was reporting that Hafley decided to leave a head coaching job at BC because of the nonsensical like nature of like the transfer portal and the NIL. So he was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I go like coach real football. So I mean, I think it's an interesting, strange hire because unless you're deep in BC territories, he went 22 and 26 at BC. I don't know.
Right.
We'll see.
I think being a college coach now is so tricky, and it's just, it's the situation college football has given to themselves, that essentially now coaches and players, like, you don't blame Halfley, you don't blame the players, you kind of blame that system. But he came into Ohio State, and like the year he had there was like incredible. But I think the Packers, by all accounts, and the Rams might have had a Jiro Evero as their number one choice for defensive coordinator. And the Panthers had rights to his contract and just did not let him leave, and wanted to see who they ended up hiring as a head coach, did not let him leave. Who knows? Maybe you work out a thing and you use a little David Tepper money there. But I do like,
asked Tepper, by the way, at Senior Bowl. Is that where everybody is?
Tepper
right
B. ATM.
I think they were at a press conference today for their new head coach, Canales.
Tepper B. asked a question about something pertaining to the Panthers, and Tepper B. saying he's like, I'm receding to the background. You're not going to hear from me. So Tepper be changing his profile or be attempting to.
Not great for Tepper be talking the, like, the, you know, what we thought would be.
See, you would think that, but I have a feeling he's going to struggle.
He'll be
to
back.
Keep the stance. But right now, Tepper be laying low.
Mm. Shout out to Zach Orr, by the way. First of all, we can use the Orr, you kidding me, drop more, and we'll talk with Connor about it. He's 31 years old. I was like, wasn't he just in the NFL? He is 31 years old. And I got to think they chose him over Denard Wilson, who got a lot of looks elsewhere and got that job in Tennessee, where he's going to run that defense.
Does anybody else see where this is going, by the way?
What?
Because now what's in vogue is you must hire a young hotshot. We're going to end up with some high school analytics genius, like some 17-year-old kid running a team.
Honestly, like a 25% of the people that we've talked about during this hiring cycle, like, came from analytics, and half of them work for PFF, like Bobby Slowick, and there's others that just, like, that's not unusual. And it's like the Sean McVays of the world that are hiring these guys.
But it's going to get to the point where somebody, before they even have their learner's permit, is going to be running a team.
They've just learned, like,
look what we've done. Yeah. We're ahead of the curve. Your curve? I laugh at your curve. Look at my curve. I'm a boy.
They're crafting, like, rise over run, you know, diagrams in their math notebook, and suddenly
Dan Quinn
Niners
is
defense.
53, so that should make you feel better. That's a coach that's older than all of us.
Yeah, it's not a great hire. So I guess maybe I know I'm supposed to say every hire is amazing. I don't love
You're
that
not.
Hire. No, like, everybody's like, this is such a great hire. This is one of the great hotshot. We talk about how the sausage gets made with the insider.
Yeah.
Insiders. We have to understand, like, everybody is pumping up these guys as, like,
yes,
the most gifted future roster builder, or a coach who truly deserves a second headshot. Let's see where all these guys
are.
Well,
I think someone like David Canales, like, we don't.
Canales.
We have no idea.
On a personal, I think you have hit on something that's true. Like, for me personally, I found, as wrong as we are every year, like, incredibly wrong about our preseason predictions of, like, who's going to win and stuff. As wrong as I am of, like, which free agents are going to work out. Like, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but I'm very often wrong. I feel like there's nothing I'm more wrong about than knowing which coach is going to be good or not. So it's just like, at this point, it's just like, okay, this makes sense, and let's see what happens. I have a hard time, like, being like, that's not going to work, because it's just, you just have no clue.
Mike McDonald, that's going to be annoying, by the way, is this year's version of, once upon a time, Brandon Staley. Like, remember, like, the flowers being thrown at his feet when he was hired? You don't know, but right now everything looks good.
It's like the one day where they haven't made a mistake yet, and so, okay, it's a one day. There should be like a one day window, and then you can start to get.
The problem with Quinn is he's the most Ron Rivera-ish of all.
Yes, that's what really kind of.
That wasn't their vision. They got.
And I feel for Commanders fans, because obviously all the things they've gone through with the ownership, but it seems like they're still. It's taken time to get out of the mud here, and maybe Quinn. Listen. Quinn, not to double back, but Quinn nearly won a big one.
Right.
He had Kyle with him. He needs somebody up and coming.
One thing, though, like, if you go back, one of the most.
And a quarterback.
Like, the one hiring that had people flustered and annoyed and thought it was completely failed when they hired him as a second head coach was Bill Belichick to the Patriots. His Q rating was low. The whole thing had happened with the Jets. Like, there were a lot of people thinking they gave up too much for him. It was like, that Bill Belichick was not highly regarded, and he wasn't thought of as a guy that was easy to get along with. And it was
a lot of grumbling going into the 2001 season, right, too, after 1 year.
Right. So you never know. Like, I mean, Quinn, it's not a sexy pick, but he could be more reliably successful 2 years from now than any one of these other guys who are unknowns.
Yeah. I remember when it came out that Belichick was going to replace Parcells. I think a lot of Jets fans at the time were like, okay, that sounds pretty good. But it wasn't like, oh my God, we're getting Belichick.
Yeah.
And then maybe it was when all the warring began with the Patriots about how things would end up. There was a feeling like, oh, just let him go. It's not like, you know, it turned out he was somebody he would want. And now he can't get a job.
Well, you know.
Maybe next year.
A quarter century later, but yes.
I did put it out there into the world that we'd welcome him. You know, I know he's going to do some media and little fourth chair action maybe on Wednesdays, something like that. Belichick's corner.
Wait, replace Colleen? That's
not Wednesdays.
Whoa, you really heat-seeked where that was going to be, though.
Thursday? How about on the preview show?
Maybe she won't listen to this one, though. He'll be okay.
I'm just throwing out a random.
Greg was very hot on this when he thought you and I were no longer part of the show.
Right.
Like, did you watch the game on Monday?
It was actually me, Colleen, and Belichick.
Speaking of Belichick, I do not envy Zaddy, because Jerry Jones keeps talking. If you ask Jerry Jones about anything involving head coach and job security, he will not outright back his guy, really. He's always going to leave the door open. We have a quote here. You see this quote? Someone asked about whether he could work with Bill Belichick. And here's what Jerry Jones said via Yahoo Sports. I know him personally, and I like him. There's no doubt in my mind we could work together. None. Like, I don't know why Jerry thinks he needs to say that.
I have no idea.
Now, his star defensive player, Micah Parsons, came out and got after the team, saying they were we were outplayed, out-schemed. Did he say out-coach? That's usually what's said, too. So he was filled with frustration about that situation. And then also this week, Jera was pontificating about, listen, we haven't put it, I think this was the metaphor, we haven't put it through the hoop yet, but we're right at the rim. Mm-hmm. Right there, Jera. We're right there.
I thought we made a pretty good move 4 years ago when we hired Mike McCarthy, and he's had some great in-season success. Now, he's come up short three times and advanced us in the playoff, okay? But I like the fact that he's hanging around the rim, and I like what the team has done to hang around the rim. So I think what the answer that I would have is that I'm aware that we're hanging around the rim. We're not getting the ball in, but we're hanging around the rim. Let's don't discount hanging around the rim. And where we are right now with the players we've got. And I'm thinking about it from the whole look.
Which is, it's apt, the metaphor, because Mike McCarthy, he can dunk, by the way. McCarthy... Like, I know people are going to say, oh, no, he's a bigger guy. No, that guy, he can cross you over. He can barrel down a lane, and he could throw down a thunder bomb on you.
Football is completely different than basketball. Dan, when have you ever seen him do that athletically, what you just mentioned?
My dreams. But I imagine he can. That's all.
I love Jerry Jones. I'm starting to like him more and more because that was an utterly absurd soliloquy. And you've got a coach who's lucky he wasn't fired. You've lost your defensive coordinator. Your quarterback has a $59 million cap hit, which means, like, do you have to extend him to fix that? Or do you let 25% of your cap be eaten up by a quarterback
rim,
and lose his playoff game?
You could
push
the
money. Yeah, I think they will extend him.
Buy into us.
He loves ball, though. You got to admit, like, at this point in his life, he's there in Mobile. You could see he's wearing one of the lanyards. He shows up, I'm sure a press agent gets it for him, but he puts the lanyard on.
Yes,
the draft starts in Mobile. He's wearing he's hanging out in Mobile for 5 days right after the season. Like, he never gets...
He lives for it.
He'll be in Indianapolis. He's on the cycle, but he knows what he's doing there with Belichick. He's sending a little message to his guy. Hey, keep us in your thoughts. Maybe he's even aware that there's been some rumors there down there at the Senior Bowl. I bet he is. Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal put this out there that that there were some Eagles Belichick connections, that Howie and Belichick have a good relationship, and that maybe it was just a rumor mill, but that if things didn't work out with Sirianni, if like that meeting they had with Sirianni didn't work out, that Belichick was maybe on line one, and that we got Bill kind of hovering over this NFC East as we enter 2024.
Interesting. He could end up back at the Giants, by the way.
That's another one. That's what I would wish the most.
The New York Post has been writing about that too. So it's like everyone wants him.
All right, that's what's happening in the news. And in case you just joined us, the news went down. We are the champions of the American Sports Podcast Awards. Is that what it is?
It's the Sports Podcast Awards. The category was Best American Football Podcast.
That's the lead news item today. What we have done, what we have achieved. I don't want to say nobody said we can do it.
I think a lot of people doubted us.
I don't want to say nobody believed in us, but I'm going to say it. I remember when we started this podcast, we had a boss who said, you guys can't even all be in the studio at the same time. We need one person in the newsroom for optics. And I remember after a long road to get full-time employment with this company, another boss, no longer with the company, said to me, I know you think you're getting this job for that podcast, but it's not about the podcast. And you know what I said to myself? F*** you. It's about the podcast. So this is an award that celebrates everything we've done. And we went out and had a great dinner last night, the three of us. Did a State of the Union conversation, had a few drinks.
We didn't even know this was going to occur when we had the dinner.
Right. This was not item A on the conversation.
It wasn't. But
it shows our humility, though.
After 11 years, the humility on display, I think, is impossible to miss.
I also want to just say to there's a technical department gentleman who about 7 or 8 years ago watched many of our shows from afar and confidently labeled us as podcast bozos. But we're now podcast bozos who have won a massive award, international award.
In his defense, I think he liked the podcast. And he,
I've never spoken to him about any other aspect of the show, but that's how we were labeled.
Watch us fly.
Bozos can fly too.
You're not exaggerating.
Is this such a good time to check the sink on these podcast bozos?
Yeah, he sounds like he likes the show.
No, I've talked to him many times because we've worked together, and you know, he always makes a joke about it. But you know who doesn't make jokes? That you're not exaggerating about that first boss. There is no exaggeration that he thought this was a completely useless waste of time. That he actively
a visionary that man was,
and actively discouraged throughout the process, and tried to break up on some level and get me out of it too. Like, what are you doing? You're like, you should just be managing.
The amount of times management.
That's right. When he was the boss.
A million times, he literally tried to end it.
The amount of times management and current management is excellent, and we're very happy
with all
the shadowy league figures actively working with the show. But the number of times management tried to kill this show before it even began, or just when it was gaining momentum. Give me my music again, please.
If you're just joining us.
If you're just joining us, we are the winners of the American Best American Football Podcast. Yeah. They try to kill us. They tried to say, you're not good enough. And we said, no, bro. You're not good enough. Okay.
And now here we are, the winners of the Most Humble Podcast 2024.
I think we're selfless. We're charitable.
The humility is so bright and shining, it's blinding everyone around us. All right, let's take a break.
Definitely.
We'll be right back. Hit the mailbag.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
In case you're just joining us, we are the winners. The others have lost, and they must live with that reality. Thank you to Henry Hodgson, by the way, over in the UK, our friend.
You know that he galvanized some voters into action.
He definitely reminded us to mention it on the show, which helped. Although
I think he played a hand in us being nominated.
Oh.
As I understand.
That's true. We were not nominated the first two or three years here.
What a success story.
We went right into the win. The problem is...
talk about Joe Namath.
As Patrick Riley would say, the disease of more. I've already gotten a text from one of our contributors, David Ely, who says, congrats, and then follows that up with, as a recurring guest, do I get hardware? So already people are...
A shout out on the show, I think, is more than enough.
We spoke about him at length the other day. Probably not in a way that he would
like to find him a wife.
That's our next mission.
Ooh, that could be a good off-season show. Like
that might take more than one off-season.
He's a great guy, though. He's a catch, if you ask me. All right. It is the Don't Say You Know What. And so far, Eric, how much money has been raised?
Zero, guys.
We haven't even been close. This is too easy.
Yeah, there's like one reference to like San Francisco City. Mm.
Wait a minute.
Was it about the team?
No, it wasn't
about
the team. It was like, I think it was Mark. He said, what's happening in San Francisco?
You know what? Like let's.
Wait a minute. What?
Let's do it.
That's not fair.
I'm going to check the tape. No.
Hit him with the buzzer.
It's good to actually test to make sure this buzzer works in case.
I'm happy to contribute to a slush fund. Typically illegal, but.
Yeah, no. Well, that's the only one I've seen.
Do you want to throw the red flag? Because you can to challenge whether or not you owe the 10.
I mean, I need. I want
to take it out of the sock.
I believe if everyone behind the glass says that I did that, then I'll be happily contribute to the slush fund.
Are you challenging it though?
I would like to. I would like confirmation after the show.
You only get one challenge.
It's in a gray area. I'll challenge that, and we'll leave it in a gray area, and I will not.
Well, I know you said San Francisco, like you don't need to challenge it.
Oh, I had a new idea.
I'm just saying, like the reference. I was a little vague on like whether or not because you didn't say 49ers. You
referenced. Oh, you did though. Oh,
wow.
Oh, he gone.
I got rope-a-doped.
Buzz yourself.
I got rope-a-doped.
Buzz yourself and take out your dollars. I actually have a better idea. I'm just thinking of it now. Can you bring, is Big Funk back there?
He's not.
Oh, no Big Funk.
No.
Shoot. All right, I'm going to save it for next time. Because the slush fund, actually, I had a better idea.
Okay.
For what it's going to go toward. and it involves funk.
Mm. Okay,
but we'll have to sit on that one. Just let him know. Mm.
You can have maybe
it's good. It's going to be something I think he would really appreciate, and maybe we can get the listeners involved.
I can't wait to Greg and I.
I think I know. I think I know. But
I'd be very surprised if you did. But don't say anything. I have an idea.
Not a fanny pack with.
I want to write a wrong around funk, and I want to use this show's platform. Can I get my music? I think our show, what we strive to do, now that we have achieved what we have, is to help others, as I did at Clemson. How so? I'm not sure.
Saying underprivileged youth, and it was a business leadership conference, so you don't even know who you were helping.
It's so many different things. I'm helping so many people. My elderly neighbor, Sharon, she has a leak in her roof, and I helped clean her car the other day. Do you hear me talking about that?
Yes.
Because you just prompted me.
Just now.
You're challenging my bona fides.
Wait a minute.
As a good human. Yes.
A leak in her roof, and then you washed her car. Like, her roof car.
Yeah.
A roof in her car. Okay.
No, there's a leak in it.
It sounded like one thing was happening, and you helped.
I said, Sharon, you got a garage here. Let me help you empty the garage and get the car into the garage so this doesn't happen again. She says, oh, no, it's fine. After the car is cleaned, she covers it with a plastic sheet in the driveway. And then we get destroyed Los Angeles in the morning by a monsoon. And I'm like, oh, Sharon. I'm upset about that. It's a part of my Saturday. Anyway, Greg, that's an example.
A strong one.
I want us to uplift now that we've become winners.
I like it. And I think I know what it is. You can confirm to me later. But let's do this mailbag.
All right.
Let's do the mailbag.
Let me see if you're right. What did you?
I slacked you. Right. It's just... We are on air right now.
Yes. You're actually, see? It's a great idea, isn't it?
It's pretty good.
All right, let's open up the mailbag. First question, don't say you know what. All right. Grasshopper84 asks, is Dan ready for year two of Aaron Rodgers? I am like when you watch a horror movie, and if it's well done in the first act, you're getting to know the protagonists that are many times doomed in some way or another. And it's a well-written type horror film where you start to really feel and connect with those characters. Like, insert Jets fans, I feel terrible about year two of Aaron Rodgers and everything around it. And that athletic deep dive by Zach Rosenblatt and I think Diana Rossini was involved in it as well. It was interesting hearing the paranoia that's gripped poor Bob Saleh. And hearing how Zach Wilson, his feelings on Aaron Rodgers have changed now because Rodgers really didn't even connect with him after the injury. None of this is surprising necessarily.
Oh, wow. It was all phony.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, what a shocker.
Exactly. And surprise, surprise, Hackett wasn't, according to some, wasn't even putting in the work in terms of scheming. And all those people are coming back except for Wilson. So am I really to expect this now to be all right because the 40-year-old quarterback is back from his Achilles tear? No, I feel this. Everybody, and I get it. I'm jealous because I know it's good sport to laugh at the misfortunes of the Jets. They're funny. Get out your popcorn. It's going to be a great year in 2024. Mm. That's where I'm at right now.
It's tough when I feel for Jets fans for you, but like. We're months and months away from like the business of the season and the Jets, you know, becoming better in certain ways. Like they're already exhausting. I don't want to blame the players working hard on that team and the coaches. Like apparently some of them are, but like they're already an exhausting topic. Not unlike the Cowboys to me.
Right. It's less about exhausting, and if anything, the fact that I think everyone's going to be so down on the Jets, maybe that's the one time.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about the hype machine.
Right, they could actually.
This
year.
Right.
Maybe
which is good. That's good.
But Rodgers, it's just funny how much he pulled the wool over everyone's eyes, I think, during that Hard Knocks and stuff. And like that Wilson story, and we've just seen so many of them, I think just makes it very easy for me to root against that guy. That's all. And like I heard Larry David on The Bill Simmons podcast, he refused to even talk about the Jets and Rodgers because he just didn't want to say anything negative about Rodgers. And that's all he would have to say about Rodgers. He just like doesn't like the experience. You could tell, but he just like doesn't want it to be aggregated or even mention it because he's a Jets fan. Yeah. But he just he can't even be honest about it because just like I can't deal with it.
Because he then goes on McAfee and then gets asked about it and right. all that stuff. It's not good. It's not good. And it's quite frankly super depressing because after this happens, if it goes the way it feels like it's going, then they're starting over again. All right, next. JM 1982, if you could go back in time and cover/be a beat writer for any NFL team you do not support for one season, which team season would it be? Mark?
I like this question. I came up with my own like list, and it was kind of like, it's obvious ones because it's when I became a football fan, but we grew up on the East Coast, and some of my earliest memories are watching those old like Bill Parcells Giants teams with my dad. And you know, in 85, you could see the team forming, and the Bears went and won the Super Bowl that year, and the Giants got taken out in the playoffs. But the 86 Giants is the team that I'd pick, because not unlike when the Steelers became a powerhouse after decades of darkness, and not unlike when any team suddenly, like the Lions, finds light. That Giants team was one of the most celebrated. And no, it's the same year the Mets won the World Series. So, like the New York tabloids were going crazy. I would love to have been there to cover that from wire to wire because you got LT in there, you got Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells and Phil Sims didn't get along half the time. You had Phil McConkey. There were a lot of strange players that created this Super Bowl winning team that were trailing at halftime to the Broncos, then exploded. And Phil Sims had the game of his life in Sunsplash, California. It was absolutely like the crowning achievement of a team that, you know, they went and won it in 90, but that was a bit of a different team. Like, it turned Bill Parcells, who was carried off the field. It was like your first Gatorade dunk and everything too. So I think that was a very special time for the NFL, but for New York and the team. It was like back then, there was no, you only could watch one team. Jets and Giants, basically. Those two teams, that was it on my television.
The first one that came to mind for me was the Buddy Ryan era Eagles. I don't know why. I was always been fascinated
by it. It's
funny
because I was thinking of the Buddy Ditka Bears.
That would be fun, too. There's a great book. Maybe the best like season in the life book I've ever read. It was by Mark Bowden, who also ended up writing books that turned into major movies. But it was called Bringing the Heat, and it was about the Eagles. And that team with Randall Cunningham and Buddy Ryan, Wade Phillips was in the mix at some point, like, and Reggie White and Jerome Brown, who was this crazy character, and Clyde Simmons, and the drama with Ryan and his coaching staffs, and the way they interacted with the media back then. And it just was like just feels like the most wild East Coast time possible, an extremely exciting team that also was full of drama and personality from like start to finish, and they were like an open book. It seemed like a very fun team to cover and an insanely competitive like media core. Just that to me, it would be a fun era.
Buddy Ryan's a great one because you could like point to multiple teams. You could talk, that would be a fun team. The one where he punched Kevin Gilbride, that Oilers team.
Yes, Wes wrote about.
Yes, the 85 Bears, of course. He gets carried off the field after that game. And guess, you know, we showed Joe after he said he was top of the world. What was the question?
King of the Hill.
You're King of the Hill.
You're King of the Hill. See?
Guess who the DC of that Jets team was? Buddy Ryan.
Mm. Wow.
So he had quite a football life, and then Rex and Rob followed, of course. I would say give me the mid-90s Cowboys. That would be a lot of fun.
That was on my list, too.
A young Jarrah, King of the Hill, Jarrah, Jimmy Johnson, not the Switzer team, the Jimmy Johnson team, Aikman, Irvin, Emmett, set against the backdrop of the best.
How about him, Cowboy?
Well done. Set against the backdrop of the best rivalry of the 90s, which was Cowboys-Niners, which was the only one that really, to me, approaches that would be Colts-Patriots in the aughts. Mm. But I would say that when I think about those NFC title games in the early 90s, they were the big game. Like, it was just, it was whoever won that game was going to hoist the Lombardi. So that would be my pick.
All right. They also had like Cowboys, Brett Favre, Packers too. There was a lot going on in the NFC. But I think the greatest and weirdest and most bizarre ending to a lot of that was that Barry Switzer comes in and replaces Jimmy John. And it's like, you know, Barry Switzer during the Pro Bowl, they showed him because they lost the NFC title game. Like when you're in, like, he's sitting there eating a hot dog during, and that today, no one cares about the Pro Bowl, but it was kind of like, this guy is a whack job. And like the reporting coming out of Dallas was like, you know, Troy Aikman was beside himself. Like post Jimmy Johnson was about as chaotic as it could
get.
They
got one more.
Team was filled
with Barry.
Shout out to the.
I thought you were going to slip up there, by the way.
What?
You mentioned Pro Bowl, then you're talking the AFC title game.
I was out of my head too. I wasn't even thinking about what the episode's about at this point.
The 70s, like the 70s Raiders or the 70s Steelers to me would be very fun because that to me is sort of the birth of what we think of as the NFL in general.
Yeah.
But it also, you know, reading the books from back then, it's like it was so much looser. The relationship between the media and the team and the fans, it was all like the business of it all was all turned down to such a degree that you really got to know these guys. It was character. Like they were all kind of in it together and they were just insane characters in a way that those teams seemed like they would be a lot of fun to do.
All right, next one. I think Wes would have thrown those teams out there. Mm-hmm. All right, here. Sam asks, Sam the Hobbit, _98. Everyone, what were some of your favorite non-football related pieces of entertainment, books, movies, TV, concerts this past year? Okay. Put down a couple things. Anybody want to start?
I'll start with a couple of books that are right off the top of my dome as my favorites. Bee Sting by Paul Murray, who is an Irish writer, like a family saga there. That's one of the best books I've read in like the last 20 years. It is incredibly written. It's a bit of a doorstop, but it's still like 600 pages, and yet it is incredible how talented he is. And then Chain Gang All-Stars, I think, would be a crowd pleaser too, which is a lot of fun, by Nana Kwame Adejobrenya, which is
that's a mouthful.
A little science fiction-y, futuristic, where people in prison essentially choose to fight in these like death to the death matchups, and yet it's like very literary and very very well done. The movie, I liked all of the Oscar movies this year. I feel like none of them were bad, almost. Like I liked Holdovers, I liked May December, I liked so many of them, but my two favorites are probably American Fiction is just like the most purely entertaining and funny and just like the easiest watch. Like American Fiction is really good with Jeffrey Wright, and Killers of the Flower Moon is probably just the best movie I've seen.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one a lot.
I liked May December.
That was great.
I liked Barbie.
I liked Barbie.
Barbie was there too, yeah. Sure.
The new True Detective so far has been
excellent. That's on my list, yep.
I'm not saying this was a great movie, but I thought Air with Matt Damon and Jason Bateman was
fun.
Very nostalgic, and they did a good job with it.
Love Affleck as Phil Knight. I didn't love that.
I sat and watched it and was like totally. It was kind of cool to see Damon and Affleck back together.
Yes.
I watched Maestro and hated it and yet couldn't stop thinking about it and then kind of liked it. And I was like, whatever. I just couldn't stop thinking about it for some reason. Like, it's good performances, but I was just like, I don't know. Something about it is getting under my skin. Jason Zumwalt and I have been talking about a film that has been essentially like re-released on Criterion with Vanessa Redgrave and Oliver Reed, directed by Ken Russell, called The Devils.
Yeah.
And it is, I took my child to The Exorcist a couple weeks ago, and I would say that is one of the weirder cinema experiences to take a child to. But The Devils.
What is social services, like,
He loved it. He loved it. I don't know, in transit, but he loved it. He wanted to see something scary. But The Devils, which is not a horror film, it is and it isn't, and it's also comedic and strange and dark, and it was made a long time ago. If you have access to this, I would not say it's a gather the family around the hearth film on any level. It was banned in many, many countries when it was released. But it is incredible.
It was like the mother of its day.
It has mother vibes to it a little bit. It truly does. It truly does. But it also feels like something shotgun from 45 years ago, and it's pretty great.
When was it released?
I think the late six. I will check that out.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I am currently finishing the, it's really sad and harrowing in different places, and especially after he passed away. But the Matthew Perry memoir about his life is really fascinating and again sad because he died obviously shortly after the book came out, and so much of it is about his battle with alcoholism and various drug addiction. It's really crazy to get inside that world, especially when you're one of the most famous people in the world. I just watched that. What is the name of it? It's the documentary on Netflix that just came out on We Are the World.
We were talking about that last night. I want to see that. Absolutely.
It's called The Greatest Night in Pop, which is a great, great look at the recording of We Are the World, the USA for Africa song to raise aid for, you know, there was a major catastrophe, starvation, millions dying in Ethiopia. And they came together. Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie wrote a song with, you know, on just a couple days' notice. And then they got every big star in American pop culture and music at the time to record the song in one night and shoot the video. It was the night of the American Music Awards, in which Lionel Richie hosted and won, like swept all the awards. And then he was leading the recording session with Quincy Jones. And Quincy Jones has a big sign above the door: the biggest stars in the world, check your ego at the door. And everyone did, except for Prince. check out that documentary. True Detective, I'm really enjoying. Return to Form with Jodie Foster. Henry, speaking of Henry, turned me on to this. I've been a little bit of a slump looking for a new music that I enjoy, but a band called The Smile, which is comprised of Tom York from Radiohead, also Johnny Greenwood, the guitarist, and a different drummer. So it's not Radiohead, but it kind of, if you like In Rainbows Radiohead, which is my favorite Radiohead, The Smile scratches that itch. That just came out. And then in concert, and I'm going to be able to get to see it in Vegas again as a longtime U2 fan, U2 at the Sphere. I went there with my wife in November, and that was an unbelievable experience, not just because I love their music, but the spectacle of it was very cool. I highly recommend it if you can make it. All right, good. Next. Let's see. Fenshield asks, I've long wondered what team Mark supported during the 3 years the Browns ceased to exist.
Long wondered that.
Did he consider the Ravens? Please. Come on, Fenshield.
Absolutely.
Hold out hope for their return or a move to the wilderness. This is, Mark, I've known you for many years now, 14 years. I don't know if I've ever talked about this with you.
I have a definitive answer for this. It makes me think of Wes, because I was obviously there was news right away that Cleveland was going to fight to get a team back, but you knew it was going to take a while. So that's a storyline. So I didn't pick a new favorite team, but I was agnostic. I lived in Boulder at the time. There was this incredible sports bar that I'd go to with friends and watch like everything, but it was the Brett Favre Packers from essentially 96, 97, 98 that.
Well, you got a title out of it. Hey.
Yeah, like, but
yeah, you can't complain. You got your chip.
I guess I kind of did. I should have stopped complaining at that point. You're right. But it was just like every Sunday, Brett Favre was like Brett Favre-ing about as hard as you could possibly want.
Yeah, that was the good old days of Brett.
Well, three straight MVPs. I have this article that goes up every year, which is the best quarterbacks of all time. They call it the best Super Bowl quarterbacks of all time. But anyone, you have to have started a Super Bowl to qualify.
That's double. That's $20 hit. Ego.
Wait, it started as five, I thought, before the show.
No, he doubled it.
He doubled it. At 10.
Yeah. For the kids. It's such a good cause that I kind of want to just keep saying it.
And, go ahead. Well,
keep it organic.
And like,
you don't know where to
bags?
You don't know where to put Mahomes on this list.
Mike has so many jobs. He actually has at least $14 million in the bank currently. So, yeah, you'll be good.
I have one other job.
Mahomes,
like, I had to decide, like, where to put Mahomes or Brett Favre on this list. Because, like, of course Mahomes is going to end up near the top. But the idea is just, it's just accomplishments, what you've done so far. And it's like, man, Brett Favre won three straight MVPs. For that, he had a shorter window than most. But for that window, it's right there with any quarterback that's ever played. Maybe better than any quarterback that's ever played.
He's that dude. And everything that happened in recent years is terrible around Favre, but one of the great performances I've ever seen, and this comes after he had a 1 year stopover with my team. But when he went to the Vikings and had that huge season. He was there 2 years, but the first year was awesome. And Greg Williams and Sean Payton essentially put out a hit on Brett Favre in the 2009 NFC title game. And he took as vicious a beating as you will ever see a quarterback take in that game. And that son of a bitch got up every time they tried. They were literally trying to injure him. There was money,
bounty gate.
There was a bounty on basically killing Brett Favre, and Brett Favre knew it. Everybody knew it, and he kept fighting through it. Now, Vikings fans and anybody else who remembers the game will also say, well, he also threw the interception to blow the game. I get that. But there were a lot of elements in that game. One of the more sneaky, painful losses in the history of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes, they should have won that game. They outplayed the Saints.
But I always had so much respect for Favre, the way he played that game.
And, like, the photos and images were released after what Favre's lower body looked like after taking those hits.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like beyond medical science. And you're right. He during the game, never even showed.
Wait, did you?
And
so
it also gave Jordan Love like an inspiration of how to end this Packers season. He's like, I'm going to be exactly like Brett Favre and throw that exact same pass.
Same throw. So when the Browns come back.
Yeah.
And they stink because they're an expansion franchise. Was it hard to let go of the Packers? Now, it helped. I guess the Packers are then starting to come down a little bit right when the Browns came.
I will never forget the night that they were relaunched on Sunday Night Football in week one against the Cordell Stewart, Bill Cowher led Steelers. I went to that same Boulder bar with an empty notebook that was going to be my Browns notebook like for the year. And I'm just going to write dense notes. And I had a feeling that they were going to be at least interesting and special. And by the end of the first quarter, they were down like 21-0. And I was like, this notebook can go into the circular file. There's nothing to write or see about. It was a disaster, but there was no conflict. I was all the way in. And, like, you know, they never really got a whole lot better from that, but they made the playoffs in 2002 under Rich Davis.
Yes. Look, when you're born in
5-27 those first 2 years back.
It was rough.
Ooh, that is tough.
Tim Couch. Talk about taking a beating.
Who's Palmer?
Chris Palmer was
who's the head coach?
Back then an offensive guru who, like, you know, had been with a bunch of teams and was I will not go on about it, but the difference between like the Jaguars and Panthers and, you know, it's expansion teams that were given like a 2 year lead up and given a proper time to hire and they were given, you know, draft privilege. The Browns got really hosed and it was a truncated process that I think helped those other teams in general to do a better job in any expansion team since. Cleveland got really hosed in every possible way.
Now his defensive coordinator was Bob Slowick, you know, this league.
Hey, man.
There you go.
Different one.
Hey, it's a family.
Romeo Crennel then took over for him the next year.
Pop quiz, Mark. Who was the leading rusher of the 1999 expansion Browns?
It's going to kill me when I hear the name because I used to talk about him all the time, but he was pulled from their little strange expansion draft.
Terry Kirby.
Terry Kirby.
All right, next. You have failed, sir. But that's a tough one. It's not like...
No. But that's, you know...
It wasn't Jim Brown.
All right. No, it was not.
Waffle House Hamlin asks, when will the pain from the Ravens losing stop? Now, well, that's interesting coming off the heels of the Browns conversation. I will say this. It's an underrated fan pain. I've experienced it 3 times personally. To lose on Championship Sunday. Because if you lose the AFC or NFC Championship, you obviously... It's one that you lose in the Super Bowl. Oh, give it to me. It's for a good cause. And you'll soon find out. It's one thing to lose, but then at least you get there. If you fall short in
you get the
title
two
game,
weeks.
Yeah, you get the 2 weeks of the hype and the excitement around that. Nobody remembers how deep most teams went in their conference playoffs. And it's just like so empty when you're that close to making the big game. And then you don't.
I think also that game particularly, coming out of it, it's like, wait, why didn't Lamar Jackson, why didn't they just unleash him in full fury? It's a bit of a what-if game where it's like, this isn't the Ravens team that we saw, especially on offense.
Did you see Odell? They had some good NFL films of him sitting next to Lamar as the game started to spin out. And he's basically telling Lamar, you could change the game. Like, when you run, like, that flips the script. And And everyone watching the game was saying the same thing. How many times was he just living in that pocket instead of making plays with his legs and changing the feel and dynamic of that game? Yes.
The answer is like week one-ish. I mean, it's never going to leave you unless they make and win the Super Bowl. But especially the next couple of weeks are going to be...
You two
are spinning out.
I remember.
I just said it once.
I remember when we first did these. I was so focused on it, and it hasn't even crossed my mind to not say it.
I was like, "How did I get out of the '86 Giants conversation, Scott?"
That's a good job. I think though it gets more painful the further you go. Like, if you lose where the Ravens lost, that stinks for the next couple weeks, and you always believe that you should have been there, and it's going to stink all offseason, all the coverage of it, especially if the Chiefs win. But it's even worse if you lose the next one. Like, it keeps getting worse.
I said this recently.
What happened there?
Chiefs.
Well, you can't say Chiefs.
That goes like $140 bucks at this point.
$50 right now? You down 40
No,
bucks.
I think it's 50.
That's a little bit of scratch. Anyway, if our teams ever get to that big game, we got to win it. Cannot get there.
No, they cannot
win. All right, let's check a couple more. Guzzy Main asks, seeing as how the Vikings will probably never be the team of ATN again, well, you never know. Third time could be the charm. Are there any other teams that can't ever be team of ATN? That's a good one. Let's see.
Ever.
I would say...
See, Washington would have been my answer until the ownership changed, but now I'm open-minded.
New England would have been mine, but they're in
they
a different world now.
Yeah, the Jets can't. We can't have more Jets talk on this show.
No, I understand that.
And that's just my Patriots fandom, too.
Obviously, the Ravens can't because of Mark. I would say probably the AFC North. Well, the Bengals, I think, are
I'd sign up for
there.
The Bengals kind of secretly, spiritually were for one season there.
Other than that,
yeah, when you say ever, like it's really hard to imagine the 49ers in this current iteration. Give me 10 more dollars there.
Oh,
well, or the team they're about to play.
Danged.
But you never know. And like, if this show is lucky enough to still be doing it, and
I guess
years,
if you like
a bit,
maybe if you
change.
Look at like
things could change.
Where we are today, there's a handful of teams that I would never,
but that's it.
Certainly the team that plays at Arrowhead. Never going to be the team of ATN, and there's got to be a certain pluck and spirit to them that the true Giants don't possess. All right, what's next? Dennis Kelly asks, what team would you most like to be a fan of the next 3 to 5 years with an exciting future, and what team could you not be paid to be a fan of in the upcoming years?
All right, easy for me on the first part. Texans, I actually love that they found a way to keep Bobby Slowick around. I'm sure money was involved there and who knows what else. But
we didn't get a job offer. I think that's the number one thing.
Well, in general,
the insiders on where they always make a big deal of like, he's coming back. It's like, we didn't get a job offer.
Well, just the fate that he didn't.
Yes.
Like, just the fact that, like, if you're the defensive coach, like, you keep the guy that's running your offense. Them, for obvious reasons, couldn't root for. I don't know. A bunch of teams annoy me. I'd have to think about that one.
Well, you mentioned one in the previous show, that you couldn't root for, the Chargers, which I think would be close to my list of the fun one to root for the next 5 years.
Yeah, they crossed my mind.
Because it'd just be insane. Texans popped into my mind first, too, for a fun team. But I think the Chargers might be fun.
I was just saying the Chargers... organization can't go crazy. I think it'd be fun to be a fan of them.
Okay,
right
the now. You know what strikes me right now is the Saints. Now they could all this could get flushed out, but there's something
on the
about,
negative side.
On the negative side, there's something about this group running this team in this current iteration. I would not want to become a fan of this team. Right
I
now.
Couldn't do Cowboys.
Two more. Stephen Lee asks, we need to bring back hashtag Greg Likes Rap. He does.
I mean, but I like other music just as much and well.
But hashtag Greg Likes Rap. You're our rap aficionado of the podcast. With that being said, as a former New Orleans inhabitant, that's an interesting way of putting it, Cash Money Millionaires or No Limit Soldiers. That's a big one.
I could be speaking out of turn here, but I feel like this sort of question would only come from a non New Orleanian.
Ouch.
Like, okay. It's not much of a competition.
School them, Greg.
What No Limit accomplished was great. You know, they made the most with what they have. But Cash Money Millionaires, when I was there, which was when both these crews were coming
late
up.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
They were like the Beatles in Liverpool. I mean, and they're just far more talented, Juvenile and Little Wayne.
Than the Beatles?
Like, no, than the No Limit soldiers. I mean, No Limit was fun, but come on.
I got to support Master P. I always do. I'm very anti-Big Sean, very positive.
I mean, he was fun, too. But, I mean, how many...
He could ball, too.
How many bangers did No Limit really have?
No Limit? Remember all the album covers? They all had the same general
They got it done. They got
visual.
It done.
What was the aesthetic?
It was a very garish, like bright colors. It was kind of animated and then like kind of blown out.
It was
out
great.
Colors.
They're kind of coming back. People now are like copying them. I love Master P. His commercial where he was selling like his own phone, the No Limit phone that you could buy that just ran nonstop in New Orleans is seared into my brain.
Yes. All right. One more. Last question. Good one, Greg. See? People wanted to hear. It'd been too long. Chris at TN Oilers asks, where does Kirk land? A little look ahead of, and we could talk kind of landscape of some quarterbacks in general as we look ahead to the offseason. I thought we're a little bit of, and we talked about some buyer beware with Cousins on Wednesday, but a little Kirkissance, not just in how the public views him, but the Vikings. I felt like they were falling in love with Kirk again last year, and then to see what happened when Dobbs betrayed both us and the Vikings with his play, and then everything that happened
after. I mean,
after.
It's not like any of his successors fared any better, but yes.
But I kind of would say the odds on favorite would be him staying in Minnesota, but...
But, I mean, to your argument from the other show is they also would have concerns, I think, fairly about what physical shape he is in post Achilles. Like,
well, that was Greg's argument.
Well, it's also like, is this the time for them as an organization to reset? I think you're right, Dan, that they are the most likely destination. But for the sake of this conversation, I think it's fun to consider the Denver Broncos as an underrated team. I think he would fit well with Peyton. I think they're very much in win now mode. And they have no quarterback. I don't think Russell Wilson is going to be an option there. And a real wild card here. Offensive staff is changing, but just throwing it out there. Ton of cap space, veteran team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're just, I don't know. I was trying to think of like where he would be.
I like him.
I think Denver actually strikes me as the team that would pay the money for him. Maybe.
I wish he would go to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That'd be fun.
I like him just walking in there and saying, Kenny Pickett, give me number 8 and get the hell out of here.
That's rude.
You're gone.
He'd weirdly fit the Steelers, but I could
picture
thinking
him
that, but
in a Pittsburgh uniform. That just, and that team, listen, be careful what you wish for. You give them a proficient quarterback with the skill players there with that defense. The Steelers could be, back in the AFC Championship game themselves very quickly. All right. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Any other quarterbacks to throw out there, just by the way, while we're here? Who else is? So Baker is obviously a figure of interest.
Russell Wilson.
Russ.
Could be
Justin Fields.
Russell Wilson to me seems like a Steeler. The Falcons, I think, will be looking for one. And Cousins could fit that offense quite well, too.
I am very suspicious of a team signing up for Russell Wilson as their starter.
Same. Yeah, that would be. I feel like that would be. God, would anybody be excited?
The fans
in Pittsburgh?
No,
I don't know.
No,
if they
I don't
would.
Think he.
I think
he
needs to. I feel like Russ almost has to do a Baker, where he needs to go somewhere and win a job, and then kind of try to reestablish.
I think
himself.
It's safe to say Jameis Winston will be looking for a new job after how last season.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I am curious. I know this wasn't a overly popular take, but if he will have a slightly chillier market based on how the season ended. Like how many
his
teams
market was
look,
very chilly last year.
Like how many head coaches are going to be like, "Oh, that's the guy I want in my locker room."
I mean, it was an upset he stayed with the Saints.
Yes. Yeah.
This season
he didn't have a ton of interest, so yeah.
Raiders got to find someone. Maybe Justin Fields in a Raiders uniform.
I could see that.
Sure. Anything else? Good job. Good job, everybody. Thank you.
Raised a lot of money.
What a day. Is this one of those days where this feels like
Let's hit the music.
A podcast we've done? And like, it's a very podcasty podcast. And then we're just here in the studio with these bright lights, and this is going to air on Fast, and there's all those people behind the glass. And I was like, well, wait. Does that really work?
Madison behind the glass. Who else is there? Who's there?
We got Eric Roberts.
Josh behind the glass. Cynthia. And, of course, Eric, the producer. Thank you. You guys all share in this award.
Equally.
So when you, if you want to call up your moms and dads, be like, today, we won. We share in this. Great success around the NFL. And to everyone else who attempted to defeat us, whether it's the fellow nominees or our old bosses,
past lovers,
or the past lovers or the enemies who have yet to reveal themselves. We are Brett Favre in the 2009 NFC title game, but there is no interception.
Oh.
Just touchdowns. Just seeds everywhere. Come after us and heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.